and welcome to episode 3 of Football Focus Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Stokes, and this week I'm joined by On The Rob and Spicy Turtle. Got to check in first of all with Spice, basically because last week we checked in with him and found he'd lost 1 million coins. Hoping that things are a bit better this week, Spice.
Yeah, we didn't lose 1 million coins this week, but we're on track to make some of that back, I guess.
I see you're in the black this time. That's good news.
Yeah, no red.
No red. We don't want red. Red is bad. Rob, probably not been the best of weeks for you with Leeds United doing their normal thing during the week against Leicester. We won't get too much into that. But apart from that, how have you been? How's FIFA?
All good. Yeah, all good. First weekend league on new gen last week and got a cheeky 16-4. So I'm pretty happy with that.
I think you were 7-3 when we recorded last week. So what went right?
Length. Pure length. Just Mario Gomez up front, absolutely banging him in. Yeah, just playing to the strengths of the new meta, I suppose. And I know that's, some people don't like that sort of, you know, meta stick. But to me, length is so OP that, you know, what you showed me about getting it into the lengthy boys over the top and through balls, and it just worked. I do think the matchmaking's probably marginally easier at this point. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe a lot of people learning the game, a lot of new people on it, and I don't think matchmaking's quite where, I don't think it's settled yet, which is, you know, expected for this time. What we've been on, two weekend leagues.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to get tougher, in my opinion.
I think it'll be interesting to see the way it goes, because quite often what's tended to happen in the past is that at the early stage of the game, a lot of people haven't had time to grind to the required number of points to actually enter weekend league.
Yeah.
So it can go one of two ways, probably tend to balance itself out, but
we need the kids in there, don't we?
Exactly, yeah. Or the part-time people that are holding down 40 hours a week and are just busy, you know, just people with lives.
It's half term this week, so hopefully they're all getting 1,250 qualification points and scraping through quals, and then we'll hopefully match a few of them.
Have you played weekend league yet, Spice?
I've played all the weekend leagues so far. Unlike Rob, I'm not good enough to get some good rewards like that, but I've been on the grind.
You're a little project on Football Focus gameplay wise, Spice. We're going to get you better by the end of this year. Don't worry about it, okay?
I need it.
Any nice reds though, or any nice pack pulls from rewards?
No. All the rewards have been shocking. I think my best red was Trap from last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever he was out.
Same here. I've had nothing. The most I've managed to play though is 7 games in both weekend leagues. So
7?
Not ideal. Yeah. Time constraints, Rob. I'm a busy man.
You're the foot coach. I want you grinding on multiple accounts.
I do that during the week, don't worry. And speaking of grinding on multiple accounts, something that I have been doing a lot of, getting used to the game, is looking at different formations and trying to figure out which ones work, which ones don't. And that's something that I want to start this week's show with. Let's have a chat about formations. What's working for you guys? What isn't working for you guys? Rob, we'll start with you as you blitzed it through Weekend League.
So I hated everybody that played a 4-2-2-2 last year on FIFA 22, and it was my absolute kryptonite. However, you have given me a 4-2-2-2, which I used to good effect. The problem I've been facing, though, so I've been using 4-2-2 and 4-1-2-1-2 narrow. However, mm-hmm. I'm facing so much, you know, the middle is so packed that I'm having real difficulty breaking down like 4-2-3-1s, 4-4-2s. So I have been utilising a 4-3-3 quite a lot, because once I can get it out wide and stretch the, you know, those formations, I can get a lot more opportunities, because I just find that if you're running a 4-2-2 or a 4-1-2-1-2 narrow and they're doing similar, I'm finding it very difficult to break them down through the middle, because especially with the dribbling being poorer than it was.
I'd say the same as well. When I come up against the 4-4-2, as a more casual player too, I can't break down anybody for the life of me. And I feel like even the power shot and even the outside the foot shot, I feel like they're not as effective as they were. Even though Steve, there wasn't like a hard patch on them yet, right?
No, I mean, this is a common conspiracy, I guess, that the game is patched without us knowing about it. I can't say for certain that it's not, but it's basically, to my understanding, it's illegal for them to do that. And I'm assured by people at a pretty high level that I talk to at EA that this doesn't happen. I think that it's just the case that there's different cards come out and, you know, people improve their teams, that sort of thing. Things that were overpowered come and go, you know.
I'm still conceding an unholy amount of outside foot shots from outside of the box. I mean, I know it's not a simulator, but how many of them are you seeing in real life?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's kind of, it's replaced the finesse shot being overpowered from last year. Interesting that you mentioned there, Rob, that you're running predominantly the 4222 and the 41212 narrow. They are kind of the kryptonite to each other, because I think that what you'll find when you are running the 4222 is that it's incredibly difficult to play against the 41212 narrow with it, because basically with the 4222 you tend to have a big old gap in the middle of your midfield in the center there, and the 41212 really overloads that in that narrow area. So anybody who's coming up against the 4222, definitely recommend having a 41212 narrow in there.
But then the strange thing for me is when I am playing the 41212 narrow, I'm struggling against the 4222. Your point's valid, definitely, but I don't know what it is. I think the two CDMs seem to, maybe they've got them on cover centre sometimes, so they'll come together to close that gap, and that's when you've got to get behind those two, and then you've got the back four. So I do find it, I don't know, it's just, everything just feels very packed down the middle, and I'm struggling a little bit with that. So I have been switching to 4-3-3 a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And 4-3-3 is, which variation are you using?
I think it's the fifth with the false nine.
With the false nine, right, okay. That's interesting. I want to come back to what Spice said as well, though, about the 4-4-2, because it kind of ties into what you're saying there, Rob, about the CDMs dropping back. What you're going to find with a lot of formations, and these two in particular, is that often it's against your favour to constantly keep pushing forward when you're playing against these formations, because where you'll find space, particularly with the 4-4-2, is between the lines. So if you can pass the ball around in the gap between the back four and the midfield four, or in front of the midfield four, if you just occupy the space between those two lines, move the ball around, you will move the defenders, you'll open up passing lanes where you can get the ball forward. And you've just got to be a bit selective, really, instead of just constantly looking to bomb forward against the 4-4-2 or something with two CDMs, be it the 4-2-3-1 or 4-2-2-2. Take advantage of the space between the lines and move the ball forward when you've got the opportunity. I've started work on the Foot Academy patron this week, and I've recommended the 4-2-3-1 narrow as being the best and most balanced formation to begin with in FIFA 23. The reasons are laid out in there. I can't really go into too much detail because it would be unfair on the guys that are paying for that content, obviously. Quick plug for it, patreon.com/footacademy, if anyone wants to check that out. But yeah, I've been using the 4-2-3-1 a lot, and I've been having a lot of success with that. Tactics. Let's talk a little bit about tactics, because I've seen a lot of complaints from people that they're struggling to deal with constant pressure. Now, this has been I'm using sort of air commas here. This has been a problem throughout several years of FIFA now, that people can just supposedly abuse this mechanic, win the ball back high, and score lots of goals without actually needing necessarily to be that skilled in what they're doing. So have you guys come across that?
Yeah, I've used it a few times and I've faced it, and it's definitely still very OP. I found it ridiculous in last year's FIFA. It was pretty obscene. I thought how powerful it was. I think it's still powerful because, you know, dribbling's worse. So this is why everyone's using press after possession loss, in my opinion, because it's very hard to keep the ball when you're getting pressed hard on this game, because it's hard to, you know, do much left stick dribbling, especially if you've got the ball with one of your centre backs or your full backs, who are not the most agile in the world. Yeah, it's tricky. It's still very powerful, in my opinion.
Have you tried anything to counter it in particular, or do you just tend to carry on doing what you're doing and try and play through it?
Probably been hitting longer balls up, because in last year I wouldn't have done this because I would have had smaller, more agile strikers, but this year obviously I've got the big beefcakes up front, so I will go longer and try and win a header. And then if you break that first, if you can break the attack and the midfield press from the opponent, then and you're in behind, there's gaps everywhere. That's the negative of constant press from their point of view, you know, that once you break it, it is quite easy to score, I find.
Yeah. Spice. Americans love a constant press. I'm sure it's something that you've encountered. I always, before you answer, I always, when I get coaching videos to look at, probably 9 times out of 10, I can tell you if it's from a European player or a US player, because most Americans tend to play the game like basketball. They'll play with a half court press and they'll play as if there's a 24 second shot clock. So
yeah, it's definitely a basketball pace that I've been playing so far this year. But I think one of the bigger issues that I'm at least facing with the constant pressure is the fact that I feel like, for me, I don't know about you, Rob, but I feel like my team comes back too far. So even if I do get the ball to a forward, I'm only like 35 yards away from my own goal, nowhere to go. And I think that's something with constant pressure that, I don't know, I don't remember it being like that last year. I don't know, maybe it's just because we have the big strikers, but there's something different about it this year for me.
Well, one of the strange things that is different this year, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, is that if your opponent plays constant pressure, not only does it affect his player's stamina, it will also affect your player's stamina.
I didn't know that. But, I mean, what people are doing now as well, I've seen, is preaching press after possession loss formations and then telling you to make 4 or 5 subs after 60 minutes so that you can continue to do it through the 90.
Yeah, absolutely. What I want you guys to do is take a bit of advice here, right, and come back next week and tell me how it's gone. A little bit of an experiment. What I want to suggest you do is, when you set up your game plans, set up one of them to have a 3-5-2 and have your 2 strikers on stay forward, get in behind, and pretty much leave everything else on default or just tinker around with it as you see fit. And when you do come up against constant press, the way to get around it, it always has been really, but it's especially effective this year, is to play 1-2s, lots of 1-2s, trigger manual runs, and keep the ball moving, okay? Don't stop. Because as you were saying there, Rob, one of the real problems this year is that if you hold the ball for any length of time, you're going to get mugged. There's going to be a defender on you and you're going to lose the ball. So 3-5-2, you've got lots of width there. Another thing that's important when you are up against the press is use the width. Try and get it out wide to the wingers and try and look for the through balls to the strikers. But the key thing, along with the 1-2s, along with the triggered runs, the key thing is keep the ball moving, pass it around and look to get in behind them. And you will, as Rob was saying, you will score lots of easy goals that way. So are we good with that? Are we going to do that and feedback next week?
I feel like I've just been given homework, but yeah, I would definitely.
I was about to say, good boys. Could I be any more Patrick?
Are you going to mark it? I hope you mark it. No, I'll try it. Yeah, definitely.
Good, good. Right. Okay, Rob, I think that you have, you're probably not undecided, but I think you're still weighing up old gen against new gen.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm in a world of pain. I want medium gen, something in the middle that takes. I don't know. I want to play new, and not even because of, you know, I know people say like, oh, people want to play new because they've got a new gen console. It's not even that for me. It's just, I want to play new because, you know, I want to play what is described as, I suppose, the best version of the game. And also, I want to try and play in some tournaments and stuff. And, you know, there's always little tournaments floating around. They're always going to be on new. So I feel like I'd rather be on new. And I have been playing on new. But there is something polished about old. I played a couple of games on it last night. I jumped back onto old last night and I played 2 games. And then I packed untradeable Haaland gold. And I think that was the game. I think that was the game telling me to get back onto new, because he's, in my opinion, just not it on old gen, but he's very much it on new gen. So old just feels more polished. I mean, I suppose one factor I always remember here is that this game over the last 10 years or whatever, it has been developed specifically for old gen consoles.
Yeah.
And now I know they've obviously spent, what, are we 2 years into new gen? Is this the second year of new gen?
This is Hypertension 2.
Yeah, so I don't know, it's just some things in new just feel, the bounce backs and the ping pong and some of the goalkeeping and stuff just feels terrible. Old gen just feels a lot tighter, and you know, you can left stick turn a player and you can do things, it feels nicer, but I'm just very torn. I can't decide where to go with it, really. I've seen a lot of arguments online, people saying, you know, they're sticking on old, some people saying absolutely new, and It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I'm not sure where to go with it, really.
The way that I would look at it, the way that I would explain the difference, is that it's a bit like if you're using an app. Let's say you've got a phone that's not particularly modern, and you want to use, say, Twitter on your phone, but you use the full version of it, and it's pretty slow and sluggish. It doesn't respond too well. Now, you can get another alternative version of that app. You can get a Twitter Lite, as they call it, which doesn't have the same features, but it's less resource heavy and it will run a bit smoother and faster. And that basically seems to be the difference between new gen and old gen. The old gen probably runs a bit better, but it doesn't have the same features that you get in new gen. I mean, obviously, you know, we know for a fact that Lengthy isn't in their pin down defenders. There are a lot of features that you're missing out on if you are running old gen. Personally, I think that this will be the year where we do see a real die-off on old-gen consoles. But, you know, it's still relevant, it's still around, people are still using it, so...
What they've done as well... So I understand what they've done, because old-gen is full of Vinny's, Mbappe's, Neymar's pace. You know, a lot of pace, a lot of skill. And I get that people don't want to chase Neymar around the box for 5 in-game minutes while he does 25 Elasticos and that. And I get that. So obviously they've wanted to shift it slightly to so that you can use players like Benzema, Kane, Lewandowski, because they were unusable on old gen. However, now what they've done on new is they've almost gone the complete other way, and they've said, right, well, all these Lengthy players are extremely usable, and that's now the meta. But now you've got a Vinicius Junior that can't outpace, you know, 42 Sule or whatever he is. I find it like they need to find a way to incorporate both. Maybe that's that they need to give a little bit of a buff to explosive and control players on new gen. They're not going to mess with old, are they? They're not going to improve the bigger boys on old. But I think explosive and control probably needs a bit more improvement on new, because they've gone the complete opposite way now. So you'd rather have Team of the Week Soloff in some cases than Vinicius. And that's weird, in my opinion.
It's an interesting point, but I think that the problem that we might run into here, if we're not careful, is that when you look online, if you look through Twitter or Reddit or whatever it may be, and the complaints that people have about 23 and about new gen, what people are clamouring for is basically a return to FIFA 22, you know, and I think there's a danger that we could end up with just a complete reskin of 22, which would be pretty pointless. Spice, you've pretty much been on new gen all the way through, haven't you? I don't think you've played old gen.
Yeah, only new gen this year.
I think that's the way ahead, mate. Right, let's leave gameplay aside just for now and get towards content and the market. I want to start with the market, Spice. I've made a few investments based on watching your YouTube videos during the week. Highly recommend them if people haven't already checked them out. Give Spice a follow on YouTube. Check out his trading content. There's some excellent tips and information there. He recommended buying some Rule Breakers Jesus Navas, which I did. And I've already made 9k profit per card. So thank you very much for that, Spice. That was a good steer. What tips can you give people? Maybe let's stick with Rule Breakers. Let's say, what tips can you give people for what to buy this week, when to buy them, and how are people going to make some coins off this promo?
Yeah, so when it comes to the Rule Breakers, at least, and promo investing, you always want to be patient with the new cards when they first drop. You know, on a Friday, Saturday period, those cards are at their highest point. But what me and Steve did, and what I said on YouTube, is we actually bought around Thursday, Friday. Steve, I don't know what time you bought. Thursday, after a promo comes out. So we're talking this Thursday in advance. Promo cards tend to be at their lowest just because, you know, they've been getting supplied all week and we get a fresh batch of Division Rival rewards. And, you know, once the new promo comes out, those cards are out of packs. And being that it's early on, there's not a lot of special cards to choose from. These promo cards tend to rise up pretty well. But with Jesus Navas and I think Calvin Phillips, I said, those two guys, they sat on front of Footbin's popular page for a long time, like the whole week. And that's something that the viewers or listeners can look to for this next week coming up. Just pay attention to who's being used the most. When they go out of packs, they're still going to get used. And that's essentially what me and Steve did this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And very successful it has been so far. And it's a good point that you make there, Spice, about keeping an eye on the popular players page on Footbin. The way you get to it is if you go to the Footbin website, hover over players towards the top of the site, and you'll find a drop down where you can just click popular, and it will basically show you the cards that people are looking at on the website. So it gives you an idea of what's in demand. One of the cards that's on there currently, Spice, I want to say he's about in the top 20, is Meunier, the rule breakers Thomas Meunier. Now, this is a card that I've used. I've been running a Bundesliga hybrid, and he is not only the best right back in the Bundesliga, I want to say that he's actually probably the best right back in the game. And I've used Kyle Walker, so I can make that direct comparison. He is currently available for around 17,000 coins. I'm no trading expert, Spice, but to me that already looks like value. Is that worth buying now? I mean, I guess we wait until the price drops during the week. If I was to pick some up, when should I be doing it?
Probably the same time that we did previously, Wednesday, Thursday. There's still a whole week of supply to come on for him. Which is surprising because, like you said, he's actually really good. I mean, 88 pace, I'm surprised he's as low as he is already. But yeah, I'd wait till Thursday. And I mean, I guess since we're on the topic of, you know, these cheap cards, Meunier being 15K, I would always pay attention to those discard prices as well. And it might be worth taking a gamble earlier if Meunier was to drop down to, you know, 12 or 13K, because there is always the potential of a party bag to come out, which if we remember from last year, that you always needed a current promo card to be used. So cards like Meunier, cards that are at discard, like from either of the Rule Breakers teams, those cards would go up in value too. So easy coins to be made there.
I think another fullback that's worth mentioning there as well, I mean, he's already down at 12K, so could easily hit discard, is Purvis Estupinan, the Brighton left-back. And it's a good card, again. You know, you look at the stats, 87 pace, 84 defending. When you break down the actual in-game stats as well, apart from maybe 63 composure, which isn't ideal, you've got a decent card there. So, yeah, definitely, I think that's good advice, Spice, to stock up on these cards and try them as well. One or two of them might be useful. Rob, what do you make of Rule Breakers? Are there any cards you've tried there? Is there anything that's appealed to you? Anything you think you might want to get in your club?
So I have packed Meunier and Estupinan. Meunier was untradeable, so I've kept him. I'll probably give him a go. He looks a bit Soule-esque to me, so I don't mind that at all, because Soule's a good card. Estupinan, lengthy again, I think you can make him.
You can, yeah. He's not. I think he's controlled naturally, but you can, I think if you put an anchor on him, you can probably get lengthy.
So I do like that about this. That is something I do like, you know, the fact that these cards that in the past were just dead promo cards, they're not anymore, they're usable, and that is a positive. I will probably try Avila, even though he's very cheap, but I got his foot birthday card last year for all the tokens, and he was incredible. He's got a 5-star weak foot this year, so I think I will try Avila just for a cheap one. La Liga striker. Ivan Toney looks good. I definitely think length he's made promos better, because I think last year it was a case of here's two phenomenal cards that you're never going to pack, and here's another 10 that are terrible, but it's not like that anymore. So, yeah, I'd be open to trying, you know, a lot of those cards, really, and I probably will do.
Please, you've mentioned lengthy. It's a word we're all sick of hearing by now, but it leads us on nicely to another topic, which is the Geraldo Becker SBC that came out on Friday, because there are two versions of this card. You can choose which one you prefer. So you could select a card that's got high pace and low dribbling, or you could select a card that's got high dribbling and low pace. Now, one of these cards is lengthy, the other one is controlled, and you can't actually apply a chemistry style to the controlled one to make it lengthy, so that's your payoff for having the improved dribbling. Now, would you say, first of all, that this is a good value SBC? 61K at the minute.
Probably not. I mean, he is very fast. Either of his cards, I mean, are above 90 pace, but I think, Rob, we were talking before about it, before we got on the show, the links, it's not good value because you can never throw them in your team. And Rob, you felt strong about it, so take it away.
Yeah, so he's from, and I'm probably going to butcher this, he's from Suriname, and there's one other gold Suriname card, and that's his. I think the other Suriname players are silvers, so you're not going to link him there. So then you look at Union Berlin, who he plays for, full of silvers again. So then you're left with needing to link him with Bundesliga, and I think what me and Steve worked out is that you need Becker plus seven other Bundesliga cards in your team to get him on three chem, which to me is just a no-no. And I don't understand the chemistry system when it cut. You know, people were saying the new chem system's better for building hybrids, but that doesn't look the case to me. I don't want to run a team with eight Bundesliga players and it just so, or seven, just so that Becker can fit it. And his nation and his club just don't work. So I just think maybe you do him for the bench.
One thing that I want to point out to people who are enticed by this SBC, because on the surface of things, you look at the stats here. Stats on the base card: 96 pace, 85 shooting, 82 passing, 75 dribbling, 50 defending, 85 physical. That's a lot of stats for 60,000 coins. Something that people often miss is when, again, go into the in-game stats on a site like Footbin or Footwiz. When you go in there, the tail of the tape is really there, and sometimes you'll find things that let a card down. And the problem that I see with Becker is composure. You look at his composure, it's 75, and it's such an important stat. It affects so many things. It affects dribbling, it affects shooting massively, it affects passing. All of these stats, they're not independent. They are influenced by certain other stats, and composure is one of them. So if you are thinking about doing him, don't expect him to be reliable. He's not going to be clutch. If you are, as Rob says, using him as a substitute, bear in mind that if you've got a one-on-one against the goalkeeper in the 90th minute to win a game, Geraldo Becker is not the man that you want to be taking that shot, really. An SBC that I've been very tempted by and that I may still yet complete is little Lorenzo Insigne, who's now in the MLS at Toronto. That looks like people are calling him the Italian Messi, and you can see why. The stats certainly stack up. Have either of you guys done him, or are you thinking of doing him?
Probably not. As you said, you know, he is the little Messi, so if I wanted to get Messi, I'll just get Player of the Month Messi.
But you're rich, Spice. Not everybody's got the wealth that you have.
Yeah, well, the actual problem with him is it's just his links again, too, for me. You know, MLS player, he's not in Serie A this year. And he's Italian. I mean, how many Italians are you really using in your team? I mean, he's not bad, though. I think his value is good for once. We have a good value SBC. But he's just really hard to throw into a team for me, and that's why I'll just avoid.
I think, I mean, in fairness, the stats are probably that good that you could probably just get a couple of Italian players in there and get him onto two chemistry. It's not ideal, but it's not the end of the world either. If you're running a road to glory or something, and you've got somebody like Tonali in there, who's a decent midfielder anyway, you could maybe put Chiesa in there because you can move Insigne to centre-forward, I think, with a position change. There is scope to get him in there on two chemistry, which is why I'd say I think he is pretty good value. Rob, I was so close to making an innuendo about liking small ones there, but I won't. I haven't.
No, I only like lengthy boys.
Yes.
Yeah, you could chuck him in with a spinner and a Barella and a Tonali or whoever, but he's too small for me. He's an old gem player for me. I didn't like him. I did his SBC near the end of FIFA 22, and I know some people loved him, but I just thought it was like having a child on the pitch. He was just too small. I'm not into tiny little men. I'll stop there. No, I won't be doing him.
Okay, something I didn't do, which I think you guys both did do. I've been very responsible this year with SBCs, actually. I'm very proud of myself, going to give myself a pat on the back. The base icon pack. When you play Rivals, when you play Champs at the moment, you will be noticing that everybody is using a bad icon. And that is the reason why. Guys, what did you get from your base icon packs?
I got the Mexican Hernandez, who is okay. What I like about this SBC at this time is that I've seen people complaining and saying, oh, but just chuck him in your team and give him a go, because, you know, everyone's rocking teams with 83, 84, 85s in and stuff. So I just think, just whoever you get, just give him a go, even if it's something that doesn't look good on paper. So I've tried Hernandez. He scored a few. He's decent. He's not what I would have wished for, but yeah, he's all right. And I've seen some Rio Ferdinands and who else came out of that? I opened three on stream. It was Amine, Hernandez, there was a Rio Ferdinand, and someone got a Zambrotta. And I think they're pretty solid pulls, to be fair.
Yeah, Zambrotta's a great pull.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked that little SBC. I didn't think it was massively stupidly priced. And yeah, I just think give them a go, get them in your team. If they're awful, they're awful. And if they're not, then bonus.
You've made a commitment to play the full weekend league with Luis Hernandez, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I detect a little backtracking there.
I did say that I would be playing. Yeah, so what I said was I'll play all 20 games with whoever I pull out of that pack. Yeah, I probably won't. I'll probably put him on the bench and let everyone down that watches my stream, but they're used to disappointment watching me, so they'll deal with it.
Spice, who did you get?
I don't even remember. It was someone. It was trash. It was just like a 70k icon, 80k icon. It was bad.
It's that bad you don't remember?
Absolutely not.
Oh, right, okay. We have another piece of content to discuss here. This is a card that I initially dismissed, and then having spoken to Rob, I looked at it again and I thought, hang on a second, this card's actually pretty legit. Who am I talking about, Rob?
You're talking about Luke de Jong, the 6'2".
Wait. Brian?
Whenever I don't know a player's first name, I always just say Brian, so you might hear that a bit. So yeah, Luke de Jong, the PSV striker. So you didn't think I'd be preaching about an objectives card, seeing as I've spent the last two podcasts telling you that I don't do objective cards. However, It looks good. 6'2", nice lengthy boy, 5-star weak foot, good pace. The only letdowns might be the medium and the 3-star skills, but doesn't look an absolute nightmare to get. And yeah, I'd probably give him a go. I might give him a go, seeing as you said I should try and debunk the myth of objective cards being bad. I think this might be the first one I'll have a go at.
Excellent. We expect a full review next week, Rob. Couple of things that I'd point out, which had maybe a bit of a letdown with the card. He only has 69 stamina and only has 53 aggression. Only two stat categories that you can't improve with a chem card, and they are very significant. They are stamina, and as we were talking about earlier, composure. Always look for those two stats when you're thinking about doing an SBC or an objective. Any card, really. Always pay attention to stamina and composure, because you can't boost them. Spice, I can't imagine you ever doing an objectives card, because you are just absolutely rolling in coins.
Yeah, I won't do the objective card. I just don't have the time or the willpower to do it. But he actually looks good, you know, looking at his stats, like you said. He's 5-star weak foot. He's got 89 composure, which is pretty good. Just his stamina is kind of off-putting. I mean, he'll last you 60 minutes, and then you'll have to take him off.
I think it's decent if you're skint on the game. I don't know. I think, is he any better than Soloff, team of the week, who's cheap? And I suppose. And the Dutch league seems harder to link than La Liga, sorry, Soloff. So I don't know. I'll probably give him a go. But I feel like some of these objectives cards are just more built for, you know, people that have got a bit of a liking to that player.
That's the thing, too, is... with these cards coming out, like, we've gotten two strikers now. We talked about Becker, and now we have him. Are they even good enough to replace? Like, if you're a competitive player, are they good enough to even replace someone like Haaland? Like, even Lewandowski, I've seen a lot of people use him. Like, are these cards better than those ones, honestly?
No, you're just not going to... I was just going to say, no one's replacing Hero Mario Gomez for me ever, because he's the best card in the game.
He is good. I've been using him as well. I think that... I mean, the thing is, though, Spice, is it reasonable that Haaland, who's currently going for around 190,000, is it reasonable to expect that for investing maybe an hour and a half of playing in this friendly mode to earn De Jong, that you're going to get a card that's worth 170,000 coins? That's a good question to ask you, actually, Spice. You're the economist. What do you think would be a good amount of time to invest in getting a card of the ilk of Luke DeJong?
It's a good question. I think it just depends on the person, though. You know, like for me, my time invested would, like, for me to want to do this card, it need to be done in like 45 minutes. I cannot stand these friendly modes. I can't stand, you know, the toxic behavior that goes on. Just leave it at that in those modes. Like, I guess for someone, you're right, who can't afford Haaland, you know, Haaland is 200K. That is expensive for players. You know, I guess, you know, for 2 hours of your time, it's not bad value-wise, I guess.
If you can't afford Haaland, for me, get Team of the Week Saul off. Rob, how long would you comfortably invest into earning this card? And at what point, after how much time, would you start getting pissed off and going like, I wish I'd never bloody started this?
Well, there's two factors here. So I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I'm okay at the game. So I feel like it's easier when you're better at the game to get into these modes and just quickly smash them out. I think if you're not as good at the game, it can become pretty frustrating. I wouldn't want to spend any more than 30 minutes, 45 minutes to get in that card, just because it's not that interesting to me, that card. So yeah, I'd want it done quick, and I tend to be able to do them quite quick. So yeah, I see people saying things like, you know, they're having a nightmare and it's took them hours, and that to me is just at the point where just not worth it.
At what point do you cut your losses as well? You know, this the old the sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah, I think once you're halfway in, you've got to go all the way in. That's what my granddad used to say. No, it's not really. No, I don't know.
You're getting your wife and granddad confused again. Rob,
sorry,
I've told you about this. Okay, right, all good stuff. Before we wrap up, I understand, Rob, not like you, to be miserable at all or moaning, complaining, but I understand that you've got something that you want to get off your chest.
I do. Why, oh why, have they still not fixed people leaving at 0-0, 1-1, 2-2 and me not getting the win? I cannot believe it's not been addressed. I just don't get it. It's making the game so, so toxic, and it's just allowing people to... I just can't believe it's still in the game. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Why?
Yeah, I agree with you. And this is one of the frustrating things about it, Rob, is that I don't know anybody. I can't even imagine anybody would disagree with that. I can't imagine there is anybody that wouldn't want that to be implemented. I've mentioned Madden once or twice here and there. I played it a lot while I was waiting for FIFA to come out. That's what happens there. If somebody quits a game, the opponent gets the win. Is there any good reason why they can't do this?
I think just to avoid cheating, like for foot champs or something, or rivals, you know, people matching up with their own accounts or something, or with others. But yeah, it that's the only reason I could think of. It needs to be changed, though.
But that would be hyper paranoia, surely. I mean, the chances of you actually matchmaking and finding your own account, can't see it.
Have I made this up in my head that in the past there was something where, you know, there was a little bit of a grace period? So maybe first 5 or 15 in-game minutes, if you quit, you didn't get the loss because of... Have I made that up?
No, I want to say that is... I believe we used to have it, like, in the older FIFAs, right? Where if someone quit, you would get the win. Am I going crazy? Am I thinking, like, Madden crossing over to FIFA?
I'm thinking if the connection's terrible, so say you get into a game and the first 3 or 4 minutes are absolutely horrendous, there's a little window there where if you should be able to probably quit, and you know no one's really losing much time, but to get to, you know, if you're 3-1 down in the 70th minute and you get it to 3-3 and they lose the head and quit, and you don't get the win, that is just ridiculous time sink and just toxic. It's allowing people to be toxic. I can't believe they must have discussed it. I can't believe they haven't. I was convinced they'd fix it, but I was wrong. In positive news, at least Rafael Leao's got hair again. There's a positive.
I did notice that, yeah. I was very shocked when this random bald man scored on me a few weeks ago. I was like, who is that?
I think Anthony was bald as well. I haven't seen him, but I know Leao's got hair again because he's my left mid.
Well, on that uplifting note, that's probably a good place to end this week's podcast. So, Rob, where can people find you breaking promises to your stream, swearing a lot, and whatever the hell else you do on there.
Just generally being an idiot, yeah. On the Rob on Twitch, on the Rob on Twitter, and if TikTok is your thing, on the Rob 9.
Spice, how about yourself?
You could find me on Spice, on YouTube at Spice, and you could find me on Twitter at FootSpice.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter at The Foot Coach. Again, my Foot Academy is up and running. You can check that out on patreon.com/footacademy. Lots of interesting content to go in there over the coming week, including a real in-depth breakdown of how to get the most out of your lengthy players. So that's something that I'm excited about putting in there. And of course, you can follow the podcast itself on at The Football Focus. And that's Foot, obviously, with F-U-T. Okay, Rob, it's your favourite part of the show. Would this be another of your sad endings, or is this a more happy one?
I've quite grown accustomed to just saying goodbye, and that's it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.